Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For Tom Sharpling, I'm Pat Byrne.
For Tom Sharpling, I'm Mike Lisk.
For Tom Sharpling, I'm Jason Gore. Welcome to another edition of Slice of Life, the best show fill-in show. Yep, we're live. 201-332-3484. I even tweeted, you have a little extra time to get on the line. Nobody got on the line. This could be a short show.
Open phones, yeah. And it's 201-DEAD-HUG over at thebestshow.net.
Yeah. So this is, this is Slice of Life. Welcome. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Pat, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Now we are going to, which one? You?
Your topics. The phones are open.
How's that?
I love how after our Vulture debut, we're coming in with heat.
We are coming in with heat, and we're coming in with a special kind of heat. So when I walk in, Mike's like, hey, I've got this song. I know nothing about this song.
Okay.
It could be just F word after F word after F word after F word. I don't know, but yeah. I'm trusting you.
Yeah. Well, you could rate my taste at the end of the song.
Okay. Do you want to play this? You want the story first? Or why don't we play the song?
Okay, yeah.
And then we get the story after that.
Going in blind.
Going in blind. This is the Inflatable Head, and the song's called The Hype.
The color of their hair. I said, birds are not dinosaurs. Don't be a dinosaur.
Yes! Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, from the...
I'm leaving the whole
from
thing.
From the EP titled The Hype, it's the self-titled track from that EP, from The Inflatable Head.
And I want to point out...
With The Hype.
Jason and I were completely going in blind there. We had no idea what that was going to be.
We walked in, and yeah. Mike said, I've got a song.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when that happens, you've got to play it, because it doesn't... Mike doesn't say that very often.
Yeah, I don't interject myself too much yeah. into music on a show.
Yeah. So that, Mike, do you want to let us know why we just played that?
Well, I went in blind the other night. I went to...
And you ended up getting funkified.
I went to see a band at the Wonder Bar, and the Inflatable Head was the opening band, who I knew nothing
they
about.
They were not the headliners?
No, no.
Wow.
They were the opening band, but I knew nothing about them. They sort of won me over with that song. You know, I like the lyric.
How do they play it live? Is it twice as long, or is it just...
Yeah, is it 10 minutes
hey,
they play it live?
They do have a little bit of jamming, you know.
Do they do a call and response to the audience?
Not
like, birds are... And well, the people are not dinosaurs!
I think people were... Yeah, they got the hang of it pretty quick, and I think there was some singing along. I think one of the singer's uncles was there.
Bruce Springsteen,
and he kept throwing the shirt in the air and trying to hype the group.
Was it an inflatable head shirt that he was?
Yeah, they had some merch.
Okay. Did you get a shirt?
No, I didn't get a shirt, but. You know, I didn't know anything about this band. They're from Bordentown, New Jersey, which is not far from where I grew up, Central Jersey. The lead singer was really one of the most charismatic guys I've seen in a while. He's a big guy, wears a fur coat and a gold lamé hat.
Backwards. No way.
But they, you know what I liked about them? They seem to be having fun. And that song we just heard is silly.
Completely.
And, you know... you don't see too many bands that are like having fun, goofing around.
I love that. No, honestly, I'm not joking around. Yeah. I like zero pretension and having fun is everything. Like I saw the Ergs reunion at Brooklyn Bazaar over the weekend, and those guys like
hate fun.
They know they love fun, and that's why I love that band. Like they are the biggest goofballs in the world, and they are having fun and like quoting other songs in the middle of a song and then coming back out of it. Like I had. A lot of inspiration from them in just learning how to perform after that in both music and comedy, and
oh my
timestamp
god
timestamp
timestamp that
the Ergs make me curse, man.
Wow.
That's how good they were at Brooklyn Bazaar.
We're gonna shut it down. It's gonna be a short show.
All right, how
I will say I did enjoy that uh-huh. And they reminded me of there was a band I used to watch growing up in Blacksburg, Virginia. A funk band called Yams from Outer Space. They were like the local funk group. And they would actually play fruits and vegetables on stage. They would plug them in and add that. Did it sound good? Not that, not good. But the guitarist and the bassist and the drummer are some of the best musicians still that I remember growing up. Just like, these guys are the top. Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me
of that.
I'm going to go out of my way to contact this band to keep that song in the podcast in its entirety.
Here's
the thing. If you're hearing this, you already heard the song. Congratulations.
If anyone listening to Slice of Life at this moment knows any members of the band, the Inflatable Head. Please get in touch. Please have them call in.
They don't seem to be on Facebook. Well, they said that they were on Twitter, but I couldn't find them. But they are on Facebook. They are on Facebook. Yeah, I did a little research after the show because I was curious about them.
Hey, Inflatable Head, do you want international exposure for free?
Yeah.
201-332-3484.
They're going to say yes.
Speaking of the phones, we do have a caller, and I want to get to them before we lose them.
Okay. Well, stay on the line. I just want to say one thing about keeping them in the podcast. My reasoning for keeping them in the podcast is because Tom would hate it. That's why I'm going to do it.
Well, I think Tom hates this.
Yeah, but Tom, guess what? You're a no-show, buddy? Well, we're putting the Inflatable Head on the freaking podcast. And I cursed.
Yeah, and
sorry,
you cursed.
Buddy.
Wow. Hey, so is this a member of the Inflatable Head?
No, this is Pat in D.C.
Pat in D.C., what's going on, man? Welcome to Slice of Life.
Yeah, but don't worry, Daddy's not home. Tom's not going to listen to this.
Come on. You are correct. Tom will not listen to this.
He has better things to do.
He'll hear about it. He'll hear about it when Vulture writes about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which was shocking. That we do have to say thank you, Vulture, for mentioning Slice of Life and anything.
I forgot that this is our first time back because we had a little...
We had a best show last week.
We had a best show and it came up, but this show is Slice of Life, the official best show fill-in show.
Yeah.
Vulture did not have to mention us at all.
No.
I thought it was an okay show that we did out of the three that we did.
Right.
Three episode podcasts that, I'm flattered
four.
Beyond
belief.
Four.
It was the fourth one.
Was it technically
four?
Yeah,
it was technically. If you count them. It would have been fourth.
You know, it's not like I'm editing
this
and
is
posting
the fifth.
This or anything.
So,
track.
Pat, what's going on, man? Welcome to Slice of Life.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey. Thank you. All right. It's just bring your own topic.
Whoa. Are the aliens from Close Encounters behind you?
What?
Did you hear him?
Did the cruise ship entertainment captain just come on and let you know that they're doing trivia on the Lido deck?
Diabetic.
Oh,
is that what that sound was?
Yeah, that's my continuous glucose monitor.
Gotcha. My dad was diabetic.
About stuff.
Yeah, no. It's a fun sound, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give it that. It's a very joyous sound.
What if that's how they handled the reboot for Close Encounters?
Through a glucose monitor?
A person with diabetes who had the monitor instead of a kid with the toy, you know?
So, Pat, what's going on tonight?
Nothing is going on tonight, but something went on the other night, which sounds more ominous than it is because this is just a story of a silly conversation. So, Sunday night, I was at a show. This friend's band playing a Black Cat.
The inflatable head?
No, it was a warm sun and fall swoops.
Okay.
Beautiful two-band bill, which as a 33-year-old, I love a two-band bill. So I was talking to a friend, or a couple friends, between sets or something, whatever. And... just as idle conversation, I brought up one of my favorite facts that I thought that brings me happiness, that I thought would bring them happiness as well and did, and then they upped it. But the fact being that Phil Collins, the drummer from Genesis, he for a while was like the world's preeminent collector of memorabilia relating to the Alamo.
This is correct.
That's
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. He actually had more Alamo artifacts than the Alamo did.
Who did?
Yeah. Okay. Like
Phil Collins.
Spent millions of dollars on Alamo artifacts.
Yeah.
How many copies?
Then he ended up donating them all to the state of Texas. But why does Phil Collins want to spend millions of dollars on things relating to the Alamo?
Oh, why does Jay Leno buy so many cars?
Yeah, people have their things, and that's the first I've heard of that. I didn't know that was his thing. But history buffs are they can go really overboard with accumulating stuff like that. And
it's like any collector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like record collectors. Yeah, you got to have more. It's almost a sickness. You go into a record store, you leave with a pile of 20 records. Mm-hmm. Phil Collins goes into a gun show and he walks out with 20 muskets.
Except I think there are only four guns, and I think he.
Go ahead. Sorry. We got cut off there briefly.
Oh, okay.
It's like a musket, you said?
Then my friend, who didn't know this fact before this, but being introduced to it, he realized something. which is that possibly the song In the Air Tonight is about the Alamo.
I heard
many stories about that song.
The most notable line from In the Air Tonight is, "And I will remember."
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Well, that's
interesting. That's an interesting theory.
The Alamo?
No, it's an interesting theory, yeah, for sure. Okay. I always heard, and this is total urban myth.
The drowning kid thing?
Yeah. Which I wanted to believe as a kid because I loved that he like got the guy arrested at the show. Did you hear that part of it?
No, that's all like I've always
Pat from
never
DC.
Believed that.
So Jason,
whatever.
Jason and Mike haven't heard this.
Yeah, no, I don't know this story.
Caller, can you Pat from DC? Can you enlighten my co-host here on that story of urban myth?
Alright, I'm actually not great at it. Because I always, from best memory. There's some theory that In the Air Tonight is about Phil Collins witnessing a kid drowning.
And then he got the guy, the drowner,
to be at
a concert.
At Madison Square Garden.
He orchestrated the police to be there at the same time as the guy who drowned
the band, the police?
Yes. And then he got, who were, you know, who made a citizen's arrest on the guy to,
yeah.
It was the real police, but,
yeah,
the NYPD.
Nonsense.
Huh.
In the Air Tonight,
during the song, he performed it live.
There's no way that happened.
And he was talking about the guy, come on, guys.
It's not about the Alamo. It's not about a kid drowning.
Wait, a kid who was murdered through drowning.
Crazy gated reverb.
Gated reverb. Hey, I appreciate the gated reverb on those drums, though.
I adore the gated reverb.
Hey, Pat, thank you for the call. We've got the VIP line running right now, so I got to get it.
All right.
Thank you, Pat. Good Phil Collins facts. Hi, you are on Slice of Life. I think I know who this is.
Oh, I know who this is. I love it. Listen to that.
What's going on?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, everybody, it's Tom. That's who it is.
Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Jason.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Pat.
How's it going,
is Mike,
Tom?
There?
Yeah, I'm here.
Where are you calling from, Tom?
How are you, Mike?
I'm good.
What's that?
Where are you calling from?
From Los Angeles. I'm in a car.
Lipstick City?
From Lipstick City. Doing it. Lipstick City style.
How much Paquito Mas have you had since you've been there?
About 19 pounds. they just put it on a giant cartoon scale. Right,
yeah.
Now.
Like, Tom's back.
Me by the pound.
Is this your longest stay? Is this your
I
longest?
Tell
them, sorry.
What's that, Mike?
Is this your longest stay in L.A.?
Yeah, I did.
I've been here longer.
Oh, have you? Longer, okay. So what's going on? What are you taking calls?
We're taking calls. Mike opened the show with a song from a band that he saw this past weekend called The Inflatable Head.
Which I think you'll love.
Okay.
I don't think you'll love it.
Yeah.
But
Where'd you see The Inflatable Head, Mike?
I saw him at the Wonder Bar in Asbury Park.
Oh, very nice.
They open for, get this, they open for a Clash tribute band.
And what were they called, Train in Vain?
No.
Wait. Tom, keep guessing.
Okay, let me see if I can
guess. You have 8 more guesses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, how many questions can I ask?
I'll say that first guess was warm.
Don't give it
warm.
Away.
No, don't
warm.
Give it away.
Don't give it away.
It's warm in the fact that anything like that would be warm.
Okay.
Sure, well, I'm gonna ask.
You get 3 questions.
I get three questions and eight more guesses?
Yes. Eight more guesses. Yeah.
Okay, we'll up it. Four questions.
Okay. First question, is the name of the band a name of one of their albums?
No.
No.
Is it the name of a song?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And this is going to be subjective, but I'm just going to still ask, you did two questions so far. Now I should probably guess something. I would guess, if it's not one of their albums, so is it one of, it's yes or no questions, right?
Sure, yeah. Yes or no.
All right. No, because I want to know if I can ask more than a yes.
You can.
No, you can ask. You can ask, yeah. Whatever.
Okay.
Anything goes.
And I'm going to ask Mike this.
Yeah.
It's his baby.
yeah.
He brought this segment to the table. I respect that. Mike, do you feel like the name of the band is one of the Clash's best songs?
No.
All right. Very interesting. Not one of their best songs. So it's not So they're not called like Brand New Cadillac.
No, they're not.
Well, I think that was technically a cover.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, so that's a no.
Although, yes. I'm going to make this even harder for you. I think it is one of their best songs.
But I will go farther and say that the live version of the song is better than the recorded version of the song.
I agree with that.
The live version.
And I've never really been I don't think it's one of their worst songs, but it's never been one of my favorites. Not in my top 10.
Right.
Not in my top 10. Maybe not even top 20.
My question is, what is the name of the band? No, I'm kidding. let's see. Okay, well, how about this is my final question. I'm burning now. Do you feel like this song is from tell me how much of peak era Clash this band name / song title is from? Is it from when they were at their peak or when they were on the decline?
At the end, yes.
This is peak to slowly out of the peak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's
end is probably.
The end is cut the crap.
What are they called? Straight to Hell?
No.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. There you go. Look.
Last guess.
I'm telling you.
Slid it to home plate.
Six guesses to go. Uh-huh.
Where does that song fall in your
Clash rating?
Clash.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay song. I like it kind of. For the second life it got as a
MIA,
All right, true. Yeah,
you know, yeah. I think at this point I appreciate it more for that. Mm-hmm. It was never one of my favorite songs, but look at that, Tom. Look at that, Tom. You did it. You guessed the Clash, uh-huh. And they. I knew what Mike thinks is key is prime Clash era.
What is prime Clash era for you?
Well, Mike thinks it stops at
London Calling.
London Calling. He thinks Sandinista bloated and mm-hmm. could have been a double album. Would have been a great double album. He doesn't like combat rock very much. And then that's the end of the story.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I know, Mike. That's why I'm saying this stuff. This is a flight of fancy for me.
But
what's that, Mike?
Well, I was going to say I don't go out of my way to see tribute bands, but they were doing the entire London Calling record, which is getting.
Sure.
I guess it's its 40th anniversary. So there's lots of articles. There's apparently in London there's a. Museum exhibit opened all about it.
That's right.
And So it's getting a lot of attention. That popped up into my Facebook feed. I'm like, you know what? I'll go see this thing. Could be a laugh. You know, could be a total disaster. But, you
know. How much did they look like the Clash?
Well, I have to say, the lead singer has made a full commitment to his Clash tribute frontman status, and he's got a mohawk. He's got a mohawk going.
You know? So he went for that era of drums.
Yeah. He had
the crap.
Yeah. No, didn't go for the cut the crap era, which I did see. I actually saw that band with the three guitar attack at Ryder College, and I was like, I was within spitting distance. Yeah, saliva was flying near me, and it was so loud, my ears were ringing for days. And I never had my ears ring like that before, and I was terrified because I thought I was going to go deaf.
Tinnitus.
Yeah.
Was it a good show though?
It was all right. Yeah. It was, I went in with very low expectations, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, they're doing the songs. There's Joe, you know, he's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul Simonon was still in that band, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Who was on drums? Was it Terry Chimes time?
No. I think they had a different guy. I think it was just the two of them.
Yeah. I think it was Chester Thompson was drumming for them at that point.
So, yeah, I mean, the performance itself.
Nobody comments on Chester Thompson.
I thought it could be legit. And we were just talking about Phil Collins, so I thought, well, that's weird.
Auxiliary Genesis drummer.
Okay.
What was their announcer's name? Something crazy.
Rockets Red Glare?
No. The
Cosmo.
Yes, Cosmo Vinyl. I was going to say he was drumming, but I missed my moment.
Yeah.
And I forgot his name.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Cosmo Vinyl.
So what's the topic tonight, guys?
Well, we have a loose topic that I don't even think we officially announced yet, but because Jason and I went in blind to that crazy song that Mike selected that was 7 minutes long, we decided to make that the loose topic. Is a time that you went in blindly to a movie that you didn't really know or you haven't even seen a trailer for or saw a band or went to an art show or a time where you had no expectations and left feeling like you
pleasantly surprised
or your life was changed or something.
Yeah.
All right. Starting with pleasantly surprised all the way to life changing.
Yes.
What do you guys have? Who has something for us?
I have something. I went to see... This isn't life-changing, but I...
Well, you're not going to start talking about Drowning Mona.
No, but it is a movie. Tom, it is a movie.
It's Drowning Mona.
Yeah, for the record...
He mentions it one more time, he gets a write-off.
They start getting royalties.
For any people just listening to the show for the first time, I didn't like the film Drowning Mona.
Yeah, we know, Pat.
But, this could have worked for last week's topic, which was, some of the best times in a movie theater, experiences. So I went to see the movie Training Day. I had not seen a trailer. I had not seen anything. My two friends were going. And I was kind of blown away by the storytelling. I thought it was a great movie. For the early aughts, it was a great movie. Yeah. That's not a long one, but hey.
That's a good one.
It's a topic. Yeah.
For me, I remember when I was a little boy, I went to the movies to a sneak preview to go see a movie called The Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I didn't know what this thing was about. I only knew that Han Solo was in it and that it was made by Steven Spielberg and George Lucas teaming up with Harrison Ford. And I saw this thing. I got no frame of reference for those old cereals. I didn't know what that stuff was.
Right.
It was like the best thing I ever saw in my life. I was like sitting in that seat. I was like in a panic. I never saw as much tension in a action scene as I ever saw in that movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When he's on the truck and then he goes underneath it with the whip tied to the axle.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's on the runway and that big bald guy wants to box him. And then he just waits and lets them get smeared in the blades of the plane.
How old were you, Tom?
37. 37.
Now, you must have been. I remember seeing
like
it when.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that has to be like jaw. That has to be like jaw dropping for that age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, jaw dropping that my parents would just drop me off at anything. And just be like, just go. You want to watch it? 8 o'clock movie at a thing. Okay, we'll be back. The things I saw.
So you saw it by yourself? You were alone.
There was another friend.
There was another friend.
But then, as you're getting,
I'm not saying you didn't.
Was it a play date?
It's fine. I guess.
You were completely alone. You were completely alone.
Wasn't a play date?
You were naturally alone, right? Wait,
Night? Nobody was with you.
Yeah, actually.
So your parents paid a friend to go?
Mike has a question.
Was it a play date?
Come on, Mike. Was it a play date?
Well, that's like, it's a certain era for people. You're younger than me, Tom. And so, like, play date was like a word that didn't exist when I was growing up. So
maybe it was a play date. I don't think it was.
It didn't exist when I was growing up either.
I think I was hanging out with a kid. A kid wanted to see a movie.
Uh-huh. But that's a film where, like, just when you think it can't get any crazier, as a kid, and then when you get to the end, you must have lost your mind when those Nazis' faces melted off. I mean, for me, like
those Nazis' faces melted. I never saw anything like that in my whole life.
That's true. Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was probably about the same age, and I just like, you know, I'm at a point where I don't think this movie can get any better or crazier.
Yeah.
And that happens. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Do you remember the Atari game?
No.
For Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
That was a terrible game. It was very hard to navigate. You could never win it. I tried. That was most of my childhood, was trying to win the Raiders of the Lost Ark Atari game.
I had the impossible to play Star Wars for NES.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really, really hard. And, yeah, just all those games. Like, a movie came out, they put out the game.
Mm-hmm.
Its gameplay was almost impossible. And then, for some reason, it was still $80 in, like, 1987, which would be, like, $500 today.
Have you watched Mandalorian yet?
No Disney Plus over here. You have Disney?
You have?
Disney
yeah. Plus. Have you watched it yet, Tom?
Not yet.
It's great. I really, really enjoy it.
I can't tell you. I can't say. Let's just say. I don't know what to say. Let me say that
Baby Yoda.
I'm never going to confirm or deny any of this, but the Werner Herzog and I have a similar thing in common. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Wow.
You both cried when you saw Baby Yoda for the first time?
Jason, I'm not going to give one more detail to this thing.
Because I did.
It's only trending on Twitter, right?
I experienced something in real life, not watching Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And it was made me cry.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
It's unbelievable. The show's great. It's awesome.
It's in theaters that thing?
No, it's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus, which is the new streaming channel that you should, that you got to subscribe to that. And
I'll never subscribe to that.
It's so much fun.
No.
I've watched The Mandalorian. I've watched, Imagineering Story, which is about the Imagineers at Disney. It's like a documentary about all that, which is really great. It has
that's them designing like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's basically the story of Disneyland and Disney World.
And now they even uploaded all the really grossly racist cartoons from the 1930s.
They give a warning on there too,
so you can go back and watch all those.
Yeah.
It's insane.
For some people,
that warning is like a welcome.
So every Disney thing is available on there?
Not everything, but the bulk of...
They're going to rotate
like Condor Man's not on there, but you can watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Mm-hmm. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Song of the South ain't on there.
Song of the South is not on there. I haven't searched for it, but I'm guessing it's not on there.
I'm pretty sure people would be talking about it if it was on there.
Yeah, Song of the South would trend.
It's also one of those things where it's just like, when people are always like, put Song of the South. It's like, guy, what do you think? There's not a reason why they don't want to put it on there. It's like, you're not catching them on a technicality. They made a nightmare. They made a basically a tribute to racism.
Right.
And they probably don't want you to just watch it. Like, they know it's the worst thing they ever made. Because they're putting other garbage up there with no hesitation. They're putting That Darn Cat is probably on there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get That Darn Cat. In fact, I'm logging into the app right now. I'll tell you what.
Is Drowning Mona on Disney Plus?
It is not on Disney
okay.
Plus.
Okay. All right.
What is that?
Drowning Mona.
Drowning
is
Mona.
Not.
Drowning Mona's not. No, that's not.
Surprising.
Unless it was Hollywood Pictures.
Pat's going to subscribe now to
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. I got to rewatch.
Pat's all in.
I am searching for Song of the South.
Then Pat scrolls through what's coming up next month on Disney Plus. He sees Drowning Mona. Immediately cancels his subscription. You know what I think with this whole building towards? Pat found audio commentary of Drowning Mona.
Yeah,
I think we're there.
Why don't we do that? We'll put it on Patreon.
Yeah, let's do it. Pat, everybody should have to do audio commentary for their least favorite movie. What if we all did that? What if all four of us did full audio commentary for the movie we think is the worst movie we've ever seen in our lives?
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I would do it. It would be downsizing for me.
That's a perfect
downsizing. Really, the worst one. Worst one showed up last year.
Yeah, I was. I had a good run.
Things were going great
until last year.
Yeah,
pretty exciting to know that if your worst movie ever showed up last year, another one could show up to knock it out of that top slot. Your list is still in flux.
It's hard to say, but I don't think something's going to be as bad as downsizing to me.
Well, you would have said that before you saw Downsizing. What would have been the worst movie ever done?
Before Downsizing?
Yeah.
God.
How about you, Mike? Well, he thinks.
Yeah, I can't think. There was nothing that I hated so much. I was just like, oh, okay, that's fine. First, I mean, I even liked Air Force One.
What's that?
Air Force One.
Yeah. I loved Air Force
One. That's not a bad movie.
No. I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I almost walked out of Atomic Blonde.
You did?
Hated it. But I was I was with a friend who was mutually...
Was it a play date?
All right, we get it. I get it, yes. Thank you, Mike. You beat me. I was going to... Mike had to do his play date routine, and I was about to do my... Yeah, you had a friend that you went to the movies with stop bragging routine.
Yeah.
I got friends.
You got three right here.
I know. I know. Well, two.
did you see the Irishman yet?
I'm friends with all three of them. Saying two of you consider me a friend. One of you considers me a thorn that you've been working with for over a decade. You're sick of the arrogance, the attitude.
I think you're mistaken.
This is clearly Mike.
You're sick of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you're just biding your time.
Did you see The Irishman,
Tom?
One
of the three of you. One of the three. What's that?
Did you see The Irishman?
I did not see The Irishman.
Okay.
It's not
like a roller coaster.
You did see it?
Yeah. It's not like a roller coaster.
Did you come into the city to see it?
No, actually, it was playing right near my father's place. I was surprised. So,
so it's not a 3-hour and 40-minute roller coaster?
No. Yeah.
How long is it? 3 hours and 40 minutes?
You know what? I'll say this. Did it feel long? Yeah, it felt long, but it wasn't boring. It's not like long stretches. I mean, you know, it's not... action pack. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of reviews are saying it's very personal. I can see that. It's almost like, I'm thinking of stuff beyond the story. The story is okay. It's not really totally compelling throughout. I think what he wanted to do was to work with all these actors again, and it may be the last time he'll do like a gangster picture. It's sort of an end of him dealing with that subject matter. So it's got that going on. So he's working. So yeah, you get these scenes with the big actors. Like, oh, you're watching. It's like, wow. You know, when are we going to see Robert De Niro and Al Pacino doing these long scenes together again? You know, it's So it's
good though.
It's okay. You know, there was like the first thing I thought coming out is like the writing to me wasn't like there's like no lines that stick out from the writing. You know, it tells its story and it's just telling you the story and giving you that much. It's not giving you more. Yeah. It's not giving you. I mean, Al Pacino, of course, gets to play a hothead. So you're waiting for him to blow up. And, you know, he's got a scene where he blows up a little. But it is kind of just sort of like people said it's like an elegy, you know, to the gangster movie.
What if the movie, then his next movie was called The Wacky Man? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Martin Scorsese presents The Wacky Man. Mm-hmm. 3 hours and 40 minutes of Wally Wacky Man. Mm-hmm. And he whacks people. That's why he's called Wacky Man.
Uh-huh. What right? if, what if that...
he's a hip man.
Yeah.
And he's a wacky man because he's a whack. He's a whack. Like his name is Wacky Man, right?
I was going to say, what if that, after he denounced superhero movies, what if him and he teams up with Todd Phillips and that's the sequel to The Joker? But it's called Wacky Man. The Joker's in it. It's the same universe.
Look, I feel like that would be great. I would love that. I also feel like, where does this guy get off putting down the most popular movies on the planet that have polluted the culture and clogged every movie theater and
reaped in
normal
millions.
Movies don't get made anymore millions. because of this. Where does he get off complaining that there used to be every kind of movie got made, but now it's either a movie for $200,000 or $200 million, that there's no middle class for any of this stuff anymore, and everything has to have someone in a cape in it? Where does he get off complaining that
he has his nerve.
Now we're at a point in the culture where people are saying that Joker is a work of art, and that that's tying up real estate that a great movie could have been in the position of. But where does he get off? Seriously, all jokes aside, where does he get off? This Martin Scorsese, where does he get off complaining that every resource between budgets and actors and directors, talented people are all working on superhero things. Where does he get off complaining that the whole focus of show business has been altered irreparably for this short game? Where does he get off?
What if he retracted it tomorrow and said he'd do a Marvel movie? What movie do you think he would do?
In the universe.
What Marvel movie would I want to see him do?
What Marvel character would you like to see Scorsese take over?
Or what Marvel character that's left that he has to settle for?
There's tons.
Silver Surfer?
I think the best one he could do would be Dazzler, because then he would just do the first cocaine superhero epic.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be a coked out disco movie with a superhero at the center of it. He would have all his tricks would fit perfectly for the Dazzler.
Who would play Dazzler?
Probably Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yeah. I was thinking Elizabeth Banks for some reason.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jennifer Lawrence.
I'll tell you this, Tom, about the movie. There's lots of Sopranos cameos.
Of course.
So, like...
Don't tell. Let me see if I can guess.
Yeah. Okay.
You have eight guesses.
And actually...
Let me see if I can... Eight guesses to get three people who are in it. Paulie Walnut's too obvious. He's not in it. Even though he's a Goodfellas alumnus.
Right. Correct. He's not
he's
in
not,
it.
He's not in it. No. He would not put him in it. He would probably put... Is Steve Sharippa, is he in it?
No. I'll give you this hint. There's one obvious.
Father Phil?
No. Hey, that would have been great, actually. There is a priest in the movie. That would have been great. But no, Father Phil is not in it. There's one obvious choice and then two lesser. And one is like really off the map, but I knew who it was.
He didn't put Big Pussy in it.
No,
that guy was like, ever since he started marketing that broccoli wallet, did you ever see that?
No, I don't remember that.
What?
Look that clip up, broccoli wallet. It's like an infomercial.
I can't wait. Like,
with him with this, I think it's like basically it's him selling a rubber band that he's going to put money in. And I think it's like it's a big deal, the broccoli wallet. Please search that.
I'm doing it right now. Uh-huh.
So let's see. So it's not Father Phil. It's not Big Pussy. It's not Polly Walnuts. It's not. Is Christopher?
No. They're off. It's, like I said, there's one obvious one and two, not very sort of not real obvious. Think the core four. Of the core four.
Core four, okay. This is me guessing, too, because I haven't seen it.
Tony is one. We eliminated Paulie Walnuts. That's two. We eliminated Christopher. Who's the fourth of the core four?
The fourth of the core four? He didn't put little Steven in there.
He did. And guess what?
He's the best actor in the
whole movie. I'm not even going to spoil it for you. Just knowing
don't
that he's in the movie.
Don't spoil it.
No, I won't spoil it.
Is it just his hologram?
But Tom, you are going to laugh.
He's playing a member of the Rascals.
It may be the funniest moment in the movie.
It's a period piece.
And I wish I could sit beside you when he makes his cameo.
Well, I'm glad you can. I wish I could sit beside you.
We would be here all night looking for the other one, so I'll just say the other one is Beansy.
Wow.
Deep cut.
Of course.
Beansy's in it.
All right. Deep cut.
And I'm blanking on her character's name. The chef at the restaurant's wife.
You're talking about Artie Bucco?
Yeah, Artie Bucco's wife. I'm blanking.
I can't remember Artie Bucco's wife's name.
No, I'm blanking.
Tom, can you hear this?
What are you doing? Wise guys don't carry their money in a wallet. He carries around an award like this.
What is that?
This is the broccoli wad. It's tough. It's
no.
Made of silicone rubber.
No. Come on.
Wow.
What?
So he sings.
Come on.
He sings. He's auto-tuned. They auto-tuned Vincent Pastore. Is that his name?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You imagine the day, I tell you, that's the luckiest thing that ever happened. I need a lucky break like these guys get, like where they get a thing like that, then they work forever. They just work and run that into the ground. I want you to do a thing for the broccoli wad, and then he'll do the commercial, and then they throw him $15,000 to do that, and then you go sign autographs by the airport at a convention. $20 a pop, you get. I could stand online and get Paulie Walnuts autographs. I don't know. I probably did something wrong.
He was also on Shark Tank for this wallet.
For the broccoli wad.
For the broccoli wad.
Yeah. You know, probably happened on that. I would bet sharks don't like broccoli.
Yeah, I think they passed. I think that was a hard pass from the sharks.
They'll eat anything but broccoli.
So, yeah.
So how much longer do you think you're going to be in L.A.?
I'm working a little bit right now, figuring it out.
Yeah. Are you going to be back here for the holidays?
I'm figuring it out. I'm working a little bit. I'm figuring it all out, buddy.
Very good.
I'll be back.
What's the weather been like? Is there smoke
hot
from the forest?
Hot.
Are you getting hot. Are you getting into that forest smoke, forest fire stuff going on? I heard.
Yeah, there's fires. Half the place is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You just look and you see a fire nearby, but it's very warm here. That's because things are on fire.
Have you seen any Best Show friends out there? FOTs or former
guests?
Well,
yes, I did. I saw Mary Houlihan.
You see her show?
Show Me and Jack, and it was very funny. It's so funny. She's the funniest. She did her show Me and Jack, and it was great. And then afterwards, I was talking to Mary, and then I said, "Pat's going to love this story." And I said, "Oh, look," because there was a guy that looked like our friend Kevin. Kevin, you know Kevin.
Kevin Bannon. Yeah.
Nice guy. And he was out on, there was a guy on the sidewalk, and I said to Mary, it's like, oh, look, Kevin Bannon's here. Like, laughingly, I said that because he's in New Jersey. And then she goes, yeah, he is. And I was like, I know, right? Doesn't that guy look like him? And then she's like, no, that's him. And I'm like, no, it's not. And she's like, yeah, it is. And then I walked over. I was like, oh, my goodness. Kevin is here at the show. How about that?
That's right. He was in Hawaii, and then he went. Then he went to LA.
Hanging in there for that one.
Everyone's like, "Is it Kevin?"
You just made Kevin's century by bringing him up on the Best Show.
Yeah,
because he likes comedy, and he's at a lot of events. And I thought it was like the way like Rumpelstiltskin would appear.
Right,
mentioned his name.
Here's a perfect person that fits his persona that is on the opposite coast. Oh wait, it's him.
Yeah. It's him.
Yeah.
So I'm amazed at his powers of teleporting wherever the comedy is.
It's materializing.
All right, my friends. Maybe I will call you a little bit.
Yeah.
Call us. Yeah.
Long night of work ahead.
Check in at the tail end. How about
this? Little beaver.
Give us a challenge for between now and the end of the show, and then maybe you check in on how we did.
Give you a challenge?
Yeah.
Give you a challenge. See who can hit each other the hardest.
Okay.
That's going to be easy.
You're talking about?
Done.
That's going to be Mike.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Crazy beats strong. So that's Mike. Yeah.
All right.
He's already been hitting us, Tom.
I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, thank you. Be safe. Drive safe
out there.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Charmaine Bucco. Yeah, that's the character's name.
And speaking of shows, I should have said this when Tom was on here. I mean, Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis is now running at UCB Theater Hell's Kitchen.
Congrats.
So it starts the run in December, so you can see that on December 11th at 9 p.m.
That's the first one? Okay, great.
And then December 23rd at 7:30.
Wait, what day of the week is December 11th?
December 11th is a Wednesday.
All right, cool.
So there you go. You can go to my website for more information, but it's pretty exciting.
TheJasonGore.com.
Alexa, stop.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Slice of Life. Who's this?
This is Sam in Los Angeles.
Sam, what's going on? Two calls from LA in a row.
What's up?
Oh, man. God, I feel so... I guess I'm...
You did it.
Second is okay, right? Silver Medal.
Yeah. Well, Tom was the first.
Silver Lake.
Oh.
Right? Silver Medal, Silver Shepherd.
I'm going to turn off Pat's mic.
This has an off switch. I'll just.
Yeah.
So what's the topic tonight?
The topic is whether or not we can get in Vulture again. 201. 3:30.
Vulture. Well,
we have to go for the AV Club now.
Oh, yeah. AV Club. No. Our topic.
I'm shooting for Split Cider, guys.
Split Cider at CISO.net.
Yeah.
But no, sir, our topic that we've kind of honed into is going in blind. What you didn't expect to be anything when you walked in and then you left and it was amazing or good or something that didn't expect to be dazzled by, and you were dazzled by it. What was it?
Freshman year of high school, the dean of my school, I got us in trouble, and the dean of my school said you need to join like a, you know, extracurricular, you know?
Yeah, a club or something, yeah.
Right. I was already on the swim team, but that wasn't enough, I guess. And he knew I played.
Swim
team's
never enough.
I still do.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, you know, you gotta join something. So he made me join jazz, And I've always been, you know, I was like always kind of a record snob. So I like jazz, but I'm not like a good guitar player. I played bar chords, you know.
Jazz band.
Jazz band. That's right.
And you were the only guitar player? That's rough.
Yeah, yeah. And I was the only guitar player, and I was like, okay, I'll join that. And then all the other kids were way better than me at their respective instruments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How was the tenor sax player?
The tenor sax player was actually, you know, what's funny is the coach of the jazz band, the head guy,
the director,
taught the jazz band was the director. Thank you.
Yeah, the coach.
The director was the guy who played the tenor sax.
Caller, you're on the line with a former Louis Armstrong jazz.
I wasn't going to say it, Pat, but I mean,
you're on the line with a former Louis Armstrong Jazz Award recipient.
Thank you for saying that.
Heritage Award, I believe.
Yeah, no, it's the Louis Armstrong Jazz Award, and I won it for being really good at jazz.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was tenor sax.
Yeah.
First chair.
Oh, yeah?
First chair.
Well, so
we didn't have a guitarist.
Yeah, well, I was the guitarist, and it was rough. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And, going in blind, the good that came out of it is I didn't actually learn anything that entire semester. I was totally out for lunch, but everyone was really nice about how bad I was.
And that made you like jazz or humanity?
I already liked jazz. At that point, I had gotten into music so heavily already that I had been into jazz. I started collecting records when I was in like sixth grade. So I was already into jazz at that point. But so everyone liked me because I was knowledgeable about jazz.
Uh-huh.
And like music in general. So I could talk about, you know, whatever song we were going to do that day or whatever. I could talk about who composed
Night in Tunisia.
I was very knowledgeable about it. What's that?
Did you guys do a Night in Tunisia?
No, the coolest thing we did, though, was compared to what?
Did you do Birdland?
We did not do Birdland.
That's the best song. That's the best jazz song.
You think Birdland's the best jazz song?
Oh, yeah. No, jazz wasn't topped after they did Birdland.
You think Birdland ended jazz?
I think Birdland was the peak.
It was the beak. With the beak. Goes, the beak.
It is this one, my friends. Get ready for greatness.
I know the song.
I'll get to the good part. Here we go.
The guitar is the best part.
You know this song, Mike.
I know.
You don't know Birdland?
This doesn't sound like Charlie Parker to me.
Yeah, this sounds like he's right. This is right up your alley. If you like the Dead, you would love Weather Report.
Oh, it's Weather Report?
Yeah.
I have a little Weather Report, not a lot.
You got a tiny Weather Report?
I think I have one.
You're not really that into it?
One record.
All right. Well, it's the best. Well, thank you.
Have you guys seen the Jocko documentary? Real quick.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I loved what I saw. He was amazing.
Tell Mike to watch that, and then maybe that'll get him into it.
Mike, watch that. It'll get you into it.
The Jocko Pistorius.
Yeah.
I'm going to plug that.
All right.
He's the director of the Jocko.
Real quick, caller. Do you think that if there was a scandal with Jocko, that the New York Post headline would read, Wacko Jocko?
Good. Yeah, sure.
All right. I'm sorry you had to hear that. Take care.
It's okay. Okay.
Oh, good God.
You'll never stop me. Never.
Ah, you're on Slice of Life. I'm sorry.
Hey.
You're on Slice of Life. You got to turn it. Echo.
I heard myself.
Heard twice.
Hey, sorry.
Echo. All
right.
Okay.
Echo.
Who do we have?
Are we right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was hearing some echo on your end.
Are we doing this?
Yeah.
Are we doing this?
What are your thoughts on Birdland by Weather Report?
I saw Jocko play once.
Really?
He was great. But actually, the reason I'm calling in second time in the show,
wait, who is this?
NBC again.
Oh my God. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's our number one fan.
No, I appreciate it. Listen, any calls are good calls. Thanks for calling.
Only one call.
Thanks for calling.
Pat from DC. He's our one reliable caller.
Thanks, Pat.
What do you got for us, Pat?
Hey, love you guys. So one time, I was at, I was hanging out with a friend of mine in, downtown Syracuse, It's a sad place. But it's where I grew up. And I'm just like, hey, let's go to Soundgarden. Soundgarden is this amazing record store. It's basically my music scene growing up was going to Soundgarden and looking through the bins for weird Joy Division records and whatever. So walk into Soundgarden and Robert Trujillo is sitting there because of that Jaco Pastorius documentary.
Oh, wow.
He's just sitting there at a table. And then I have to try to explain to this friend why I think that Robert Trujillo is super funny. And it all relates to the best show.
What was the name of this record store again?
Soundgarden.
Nice.
There are two Soundgardens. First is in Baltimore, Gulf Point, and then in Syracuse.
What was the record store again?
Soundgarden. Like the band.
Yeah. Which one do you think was better?
I mean, like, they're both... I have more deep affection for the Syracuse.
The Syracuse...
The Syracuse what?
Syracuse Soundgarden. Yes, Goose, they make fun of me.
No! We're having fun. We're just having a little fun. It's a radio show. We got to keep it moving.
Are you having black hole fun?
Oh, no, we're having some outshine fun.
Yeah, this is outshine.
Thanks for calling, Pat. All right.
Seriously, thank you for calling.
201-332-3484.
For the record,
we got a few more minutes here.
For the record, Pat, if you're listening to this part of it, Jason just hates people named Pat. It's just a fact.
It is true. It's a fact. My blood boils a little bit. Yeah. I will say that. Hi, you're on Slice of Life.
Hi, this is Jerry from Allentown.
Jerry from Allentown. How you doing? What's going on in Allentown?
Not much right now, but...
they close all the factories down. Huh?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you guys, the Saturday before last I was in New Hope, I saw the inflatable head.
Oh, great.
What?
Did you think of
them? Yes!
Did you like them?
Do you know them personally?
No, I don't know them, but they were awesome. When you guys started playing that song, that was the only song I remembered from the set, and I was
it's memorable.
It's the only song that Mike remembered from the set.
Oh, man. And I did meet him, though. I don't know him, but I went up after the show and I met the front man, and he was wearing, like... this knit beanie striped in the colors of a child's toy, and a Macklemore fur coat.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I think
it was like so charming and cool.
I think he sleeps in that coat. I mean, there's some pictures. There's some pictures on Facebook, and he's wearing a coat all the time. He was wearing a gold lamé baseball hat when I saw him.
Wow!
But they were a fun band, right?
Yeah, they were like. When I met him, he was, he asked me, hey, you want to see something cool? I was like, yeah, okay. And he was wearing these pants that were like, oh, God, I don't even know how to describe them. They had a fake gold chain pattern on them, and they were magenta and deep blue. And he pulled them down, and he had e-cigarettes for legs.
Oh, okay.
I love it. I love that we got it. It's an honor.
First vulture.
I gotta say something.
First vulture. Now this.
No. I'm gonna say this.
I think that was an imposter.
No, I do. I don't know, Mike, but I know that you're a little too tight with the e-cigs guy.
You are like, a little too tight.
So yeah. I'm a little worried. Like, I don't know what that was.
One hand washes the other. You know.
Yeah, that really feels like there's a connection there.
If this were government, you'd be demoted to work in DPW.
I do have an iCigs Connect.
An iCigs Connect?
I mean e-cigs.
E-cigs Connect. Yeah, you talk to this person.
He's reached out to me a couple times. Yeah, he trusts me.
I don't like it.
We've built up a trust over the last couple years.
I don't like it. Well, he's talking about that t-shirt that was made, and he wants some money out of that. Mm-hmm. He wants his wheel to be greased.
Suddenly,
and of course, there's going to be another wheel greased in
suddenly
that.
A t-shirt gets made, someone's making money, and this guy comes out of the woodwork.
Yeah. So you feel like that was an imposter?
I don't think that was him. What did you think? Did you think that was his voice?
Well, why don't you check his number and see if it matches the one in your phone, Mike?
I don't have his phone number. We only contact through the internet.
It's only through the internet.
Hey, what do you think about this?
201-332-3484. Phones are open.
Yeah. What? Dead 201 Dead Hug. Give us a call.
Otherwise, we're going to wrap this up. It's
going
in
blind, the things you didn't expect to love and you did. What I was thinking when he was calling before he blew us off in a classic E6 fashion.
Yeah.
And he did bait us, though. It was a traditional E6 call. I'll give him that credit. He did bait us, lure us a little
bit.
No,
we were baited.
I appreciate that.
We were baited.
If you're going to stick to the
format. I was
going to
have a little fun with him, but he bailed on us.
What if members of Inflatable Head, eventually, some guys don't want to do it anymore, some people retire.
They're an inflatable head until they die.
But hear me out. Some people pass on, and then eventually, the remaining members, the people and the sons of the people who want to do it, want to continue, I think they would be then called Head and Company.
I can say this through my limited research on the Inflatable Head.
I'm leaving.
It looks like they had had a recent major turnover with the group members.
Jason just started his car remotely.
Yeah. What? So, like, the singer kicked out the band, like GBV style?
Yeah. It looks like, I think he kept the drummer, but he did get rid of, look like a second almost front man, maybe even songwriter.
Wow.
Yeah. There were like two guys who were sort of prominent in the photos I've seen, and now it's down to one.
Wow.
Front man.
So you think they kicked out the songwriter of the hype?
Well, I don't know about the songwriting, but he looked like the other front man. There's lots of posts about the two of them. So there must have been a major fallout.
Interesting.
And now they've got these two members who, actually, the first song they performed, every member of the band took a spot on the singing.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that was curious. You know, it was like,
so they each took turns singing about dinosaurs.
Yeah, it wasn't on that song. It was a different song. But they all, they weren't bad singers, but clearly the lead guy is the main guy. And I was actually a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, you mean this guy's going to trade off lyrics to these different band members? But it didn't. He took control.
And it worked out, and you were happy with it.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, this is the lead guy. He should be the lead guy. So, yeah.
You're on the air, Slice of Life. Who do we have?
Hey, what's up? This is Dan in Queens.
Dan in Queens. What's going on? You got one for the topic? Do you know any members of the Inflatable Head?
You're breaking up.
We do have a tweet that somebody is in touch.
Somebody's in touch with an Inflatable Head.
Yes.
Member.
I'm going to go back to my tweet.
But what are they legacy? Are they classic lineup Inflatable Head, or is it one of the new guys? Because I don't care about the new guys.
On their Wikipedia, it's just a purple line going across. I'm not sure what it means. I skimmed it. Caller, sorry, you lost connection to us. You need us to repeat the topic, was it? Or
no, I think I
pieced together from our jibber jabber. Okay.
What's going on, Dan?
Oh, not a lot.
Hey, Dan, really quick. If you had to name your favorite band from Seattle, what would it be?
Oh, probably Soundgarden.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you got for us, Dan?
I think the first time... All right, so when I first watched Nathan for You, I knew nothing about the show. But it was probably the hardest I think I've ever laughed.
It's a unique show.
I mean, I'd agree with that. I laughed. It was one of those, like, crying laughters.
What, Nathan for You?
It's the first time I saw Nathan for You.
It's brilliant. And a friend of the show.
Yep. Well, friend of the best show, not Slice of Life.
Friend of the best show.
He doesn't want anything to do with it.
You're right.
Slice of Life, probably.
We tried to get him.
Probably. I'm not assuming.
Nice guy, though.
Yes.
Caller?
But, yeah.
So you went in blindly to that. You started watching it, weren't expecting much, and then by the end of the first episode, you're like, this is the most creative, innovative show I've seen in a long time.
I think it was by the end of the episode with the hero pig.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like no better half hour of television than that episode.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Especially not knowing anything about the comedian or like what to expect from the premise. The whole premise is like a, you know, like flies under the radar. I don't know. I was blown away by that.
It's a good one. It's a great show. I think even if it was properly rated at times, I think overall it's a show that's kind of underrated in the arc of its existence. The arc of his existence. I must be getting tired, guys.
I feel like maybe
he's going deep there.
I chose like too direct.
No, it works.
Now I want to give credit. I want to give credit here to
Dan. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Dan. I want to say thank you to @Shemp on Twitter.
Yes.
His real name is Blaine. He says big fan, and he says you're welcome. Thank you, Blaine, aka @Shemp. Everybody, give him a follow @SHE.
Well, I want to hear the context of this before we tell anyone.
I just texted you. He sent. I don't have Facebook, but he sent me a link to Facebook.
Oh, I'm not using my Facebook
Messenger.
For that.
Come on, we could easily get the clearance.
I could have done that. He told me they had a Facebook page. Right. That doesn't mean I'm going to go search
but
for
it's,
it. Or...
It's, that's how we have to message them.
Wait, they need to get a Twitter.
Oh, come on, man. Me and Mikey don't
You're on Slice of Life. You've got myself, Jason, you got Mike, you got Pat. Facebook? What's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, not too much. This is Zippy from Parts Unknown.
This is who?
Zippy from Parts Unknown.
Zippy from Parts Unknown.
All right. Son of a plumber.
What's going on, Zippy, from Parts Unknown?
Not too much. Just hanging out at a bar I work at called Starlight in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Parts Unknown.
It's at a bar. The bar is called Starlight?
Starlight, yep. We're an art gallery and a bar.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What's being shown in the gallery right now? Whose work?
We've got a local artist named Amber. Okay. She's in a band called Sapling. They played here and they had showed a play. We had our first play here, so they had a play. They had some musical acts, and then she had her showing. So
very
cool event, actually. Yeah.
Very cool. Do you got one for the topic?
Yeah, so I wanted to just bring to the table the band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Sure. Crazy name. If I walked in and I didn't know them, I'd be like, to the friend bringing me or the person who recommended, I'd be like, what am I getting into now?
Yeah, I'm not very familiar. So, school me, guys. What is this?
They're a good band.
So this is a band, they're from, I think Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been playing since about like 2012, 2013. And they started off as like a surf punk psychedelic band.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 7 members. So at first it was like eclectic and they didn't really find their sound yet. And then every year they seemed to release one new album that really seemed to show their growth. And the second album was called 12 Bar Bruise. And that was the same kind of style, but just got it all more like compacted and more energetic and connected. And then as they kept growing, which was only over the past few years, they've released 15 albums. And in 2017, they released 5 albums, all of different genres, and really seemed to hold up as albums on their own. But just they're such prolific songwriters, and they're constantly touring and growing as musicians. They're playing multi-genres.
Do you run their American fan club?
No, but I feel like a lot of fans are kind of like me.
Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of rabid about this band. They're
all right.
Yeah, unassuming. Yeah.
It's like how Mike is with Inflatable Head.
It's unassuming. People think it's going to be silly, zany, or whatever, or like a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And then you see them, and you're like, oh, this is my favorite
band. Do they
have
like 4 guitars or something? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
So they have 4 guitars. Oh, wow. I was joking.
3 guitars, 2 drummers.
Yeah. Okay.
So Mike might like that, Grateful Dead is.
Yeah, he only likes a band with 2 drummers.
Yeah, and there's something about him that likes 2 drummers.
Yeah, he's a 2-drummer
dude.
Yeah,
check them out.
Okay.
They're playing 2 shows next year in the summer. One's at Red Rocks, and they just sold out, but they're going to probably have a second show. And one's in the Greek Theater in L.A.
Great.
Get them to the Greek.
Yeah. Do you want to say the ticket link out loud so that people can go right to the URL?
It's Ticketfly. I can't think of anything more.
Okay. Thanks for calling. All right.
No problem. Thanks.
Yeah, I saw there when one of the first years Mindy was at Clusterfest.
Mm-hmm.
I saw their name.
They were at Clusterfest?
No, but they were playing this big old venue in
Domino's Pizza.
Downtown San Francisco. And good call. We're going to find out later. It's a very angry Gregulator. Sorry, Gregulator.
It literally could have been. But there's no way, though.
Their name wasn't a marquee, and I was just like, if I could do a Sharpling impersonation here. I was like, I'm not seeing this band with this name.
And wait. Was that your Tom?
That was my Tom. And my impression of Tom is his impression of Dice Clay. Yeah.
So, no. Hi, you're on Slice of Life. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary, what's going on, Mary? How are you?
Hey, Mary, I won't be able to finish the story.
Hello, what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Wait, there was more to your story?
Yeah, but forget it.
Well, you kind of threw me off with that impression. Like, I don't.
But I'm not gonna. Okay. That's it. That's my.
Well, now where else was it, Mary? One second, Mary. I need to know now. Now I need to know where was this gonna go? Where was this going, Pat?
You're right. You caught my bluff. You caught my bluff.
It wasn't going anywhere.
Uh-huh. No, I'm too busy paying attention to Mike on the Facebook Messenger for the inflatable head, which, by the way, are playing Triumph New Hope on 11.
Okay. Okay. Mary, how's it going?
Good. 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 How are you guys?
Good.
Really good. Not tired at all. I'm really happy.
Yeah. Do you have one for the topic, Mary?
Actually, I do, but it won't blow anybody's mind. But the thing where I had no idea what I was walking into, and I just fell in love immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it up because it's coming back soon.
Woo! Jesus.
Joe Caro Talks. Well, boy, I hope not.
Okay. All right.
I'll be in plenty of trouble.
Yeah. He's gonna be like Mary.
Yeah,
no, she's got the right name.
Yeah,
she'll be fine with that name.
That is true. You'll be in the clear, Mary. So you're saying Joe Parra?
So many Marys who followed him. I can slide in under the radar.
Yeah,
it'll be good.
Yeah, he's fine. Literally only gonna talk to people with the name Mary.
It'll be fine. Yeah,
you'll be good.
I can blend in.
Yes,
I've got, dark hair. It's fine.
And I think you were saying Joe Parra.
It's fine. Is the tagline of this show?
It is. I had improv 401 with Joe Parra.
Sure did.
Did you really?
I did.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And I was auditing that class.
Really?
No.
Oh, so you guys were in on the ground floor.
We were of
Joe Parra?
We were actually in the basement of UCB. of Gristides.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Joe's a great guy. I love Joe.
Yeah,
I love Joe a lot.
I didn't know his comedy at all when the show came on to Adult Swim,
mm-hmm.
and it was just sort of this, I don't even know what made me, tape it. Tape, God, how old am I?
Mm-hmm.
But
VHS.
I'll always say tape.
I still have, yeah. Look, I'm 40, my bones hurt.
Right.
I'm dying.
No, I get it. I get it.
So yeah, I had no idea what I was what I was recording, actually, when I did, and I watched the first episode, and it was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know what this is,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely speaking to me. I don't know if this is is this sincere? Is this ironic? What am I looking at? And it took me one and a half episodes, and I'm just like, yep, that's it. I'm in.
It's a great show. It's a great show. And I will say, Joe isn't very different in real life. That is very,
that makes me so happy.
Much like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's a little meaner. He's a little bit meaner.
He's a lot meaner.
Well, yeah. Aren't we all?
But
yeah. No, he's not. He's one of the nicest guys I think I've ever met. Well, that's great. That's a great show. That is a good one, Mary.
And it's coming back in December.
Well, it's actually just got canceled.
No.
Yeah, I just read it. It's on Deadline right now. They're saying it's not coming back.
Are you joking?
Yeah. No, I'm of course joking. That was my version of doing a Tom impression.
That was very much. Yeah.
Well,
I got chills.
No.
Mary, thank you for the call.
Good night, guys.
Take care. Slice of Life, you're on with me, Jason, AP Mike, Pat. What's going on?
Hi, this is Rachel in Des Moines.
Rachel in Des Moines. What's going on in Des Moines? I ate at a Applebee's in Des Moines once.
Wow.
It was great.
Well,
really good Applebee's.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah, you guys did it well. You did it well.
It was the one on Merle Hay. I agree. I would tend to agree with you.
Where was it?
On Merle Hay Road near a mall.
Is it basically part of a motel?
Oh, that's probably the South Side one. Yeah.
That one.
That
not as good as the Merle Hay one.
Yeah, I went there for a birthday as an adult with a significant other.
Right.
And I got a balloon
but they let my balloon go out the car window on the drive home. So I was very upset.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Was it on purpose?
I think so.
Yeah, it was 100% on purpose.
They're an ex, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course they're
well,
an ex.
I was calling with a couple for the topic.
Shoot.
They're both music.
Okay.
The first one, and I'm sure I'm not unique in this, but...
The Beatles.
In that Dead Milkmen song, they talk, they name check Mojo Nixon.
Okay.
So I got one of their CDs just from that, and it was Otis, and I really enjoyed that album. That was a lot of fun.
Mike, you feel it feels to me like you'd be a Mojo Nixon fan. Am I wrong?
I didn't really, I heard some, but did not pursue that.
You don't have any Mojo Nixon albums in your collection?
No.
Well, if you don't have any Mojo Nixon, then your collection could use some fixing.
There you go.
What am I quoting, caller?
Rhyme the DJ over
help,
there.
Help,
is
help.
That a Mojo Nixon song?
No, help. No. I'm going to have the caller enlighten Jason on what I am quoting. You must know it, caller.
That's their hit punk rock girl from
that's
Dead
That's right,
Milkman.
The Dead Milkman, who immortalized... the only reason I know Mojo Nixon is from that song, Punk Rock Girl, by the Dead Milkmen, friends of the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Friends of the best show, not this show.
So Mojo Nixon's number one. Who's number two?
The other one, I had one of those books of, like, the best album covers of all time, and it showed this album that had a kind of a cityscape and then, like, a saxophone-shaped building.
1,000 record covers. I have that book, yes.
Yeah.
Great book.
Yeah, I know that book. I've got that book, too.
Great for the bathroom. Great bathroom reader.
It's a real good bathroom. There's a topic for the next slice of life.
Bathroom reader.
Bathroom books.
Okay.
Mike, what if you start sending
out
bathroom
books? What album is that
books?
With the saxophone? Is that the Arthur Blythe record?
You thought you were going to say Tijuana Brass.
Yeah, that record was hard for me to find. I pursued that record back in the old record collecting days.
And you won?
I finally found it, yeah. It was hard to find.
Man versus album.
One of those out of print records.
Mike versus record stores. Did you go to Soundgarden?
No, I got it in some place.
Hit it. yeah!
Sorry. I got it in New York someplace. But it took me a while.
I'm sorry.
I was looking for
I've it. Never heard it. What would it so enlighten me? What is this?
It's a jazz record, yeah.
It's a jazz record?
Arthur Blythe, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lenox Avenue Breakdown, is that the name of the record?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to say my favorite jazz song before, but I think it's the theme to Night Court. Boom, bam. Boom, 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 boom. But then it's not a jazz song until...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little funk at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I heard a guy playing the bass line on the platform to the L Train today.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, this guy knows his audience. This guy knows what he's doing. Because it was very like, okay, everyone here.
His audience everyone here in their Marky Post.
Well, everyone in their mid-30s to, like, 40s plus is going
right.
to, who's on the L Train going into Brooklyn.
That or the taxi theme.
Yeah, a taxi theme I would love.
Yeah.
And actually, like, a friend of mine posted just a shot that he got on his phone at dusk going over, like, the Bayonne Bridge or something. Or whatever that bridge is that looks like it's made out of an Erector set on the turnpike when you're going from Jersey City to towards Newark, towards the
Dashboard. That's a Bayonne. Yeah, yeah. That's Bayonne, right?
No, that's...
Bayonne's tall now.
Yeah, they raised it.
They really raised it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had this footage, and it was like from the driver's side, like his perspective, and it was sunset behind him. And I was like, "You need to re-upload that and put the theme to Taxi underneath it, because that's what I think." My head immediately goes to the Fender Rhodes. It might be a Wurlitzer. Who knows? Great trivia fact. I'm sorry I derailed your call, caller.
No, that's great. I'm glad you got to tell the story about hearing the Night Court theme on the platform, because I did see that tweet. It made me smile. So.
I immediately tweeted.
It's all connected.
Thank you I immediately tweeted that because I was like, you know what? This is real time. This is a real time tweet.
Yeah. Tweets in real time.
That's satisfying.
You got on. This is really nice. This is making me feel really good.
Caller, you can't hear it, but behind you is the theme tonight. It's the theme to Taxi.
Taxi.
A rendition of it, not the.
No, this is the original.
This is not the original.
Yeah, it is. By Bob James.
But that's what he put out on an album. There was a different one for the theatrical.
No, he said Bob James was literally like, I'm cutting this once. What you get is it.
The one that was on TV.
Sounds like it.
It sounds like it, but
I literally typed in taxi theme.
I know.
This is the only thing
Listen,
that popped up.
This is what's on Spotify available, but this is not the one that was on TV.
Okay.
The tempo's off, and it's too like earthy or something. I don't know. I can't pinpoint it.
I think it's wrong.
Guys, back me up if you're hearing this as a podcast.
I'm not going to enter this.
That was
debate.
It was close, but it was
out of this.
It
debate.
Was too clean. No, the one on watch. Pull up the YouTube and compare it. I swear to Bob, it's different.
Let me get
I was
it.
Waiting for a fight to break out. I never
knew. Tom
never
said.
Knew,
Tom
never
predicted
knew it would be over the taxi theme.
Okay, here you go. Let me know if this is it. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
that's our show. Good
night. We should end on that. What else are we going to do? Mike, do you have anything?
Well, the inflatable head will bring us out. We'll
do you? We're going to play it again.
Now, I'm sorry, Mike. You actually did. Mike has his Facebook pulled up and to the page of inflatable. Did you message them? What's the status?
Yeah, I did, but I see in the about typically replies within a few hours, so. I don't know if we'll.
They can be.
We'll catch him now.
Can you call or email me by the morning to tell me if I have to pull it or not?
We're pulling it.
Come on.
We didn't hear. That was the thing. If we didn't hear it during the show, it's being.
Why don't we take a vote? I think we should keep it in. Mike?
Yeah! 2-1.
We're pulling it.
Maybe we'll get a guest out of it too. Who knows?
Oh, that,
you never know.
I think it'd be a good guess.
Nothing would make Tom hate us more if we had them in while he's away. If we had a live session with inflatable head,
erect a joint.
I'm gonna love Bad Guy Zero's tweet of what songs were played tonight.
I'm gonna love that too.
And it's gonna be the hype twice.
The hype twice, inflatable head.
Plugs, Mike.
Thank you for doing that, Bad Guy Zero, every week, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
He does not have to, and he does, and we retweet it, and then people know, and it actually probably helps Martine if he didn't listen to the show, because he listed on the website.
And thank you to Martine.
Huge thanks to Martine, who doesn't get enough credit every week. He's the guy behind the scenes who makes thebestshow.net, the actual web address, work, and he's such a great guy. I love
Super
Martine.
Dude. Super dude. Mike, anything to plug?
No.
Absolutely nothing. You don't even want to say apmike.bandcamp.com.
Well, we could, that's a given. Everybody knows to go there at this point.
So you're at your point, at the point of bandcamp.com where you're just like, they know what it is. But I don't have to say it anymore.
I need to get some new content up.
I'm done.
I mean, it's the old stuff.
Are you working on anything special?
I've got something in the works.
How about an album with the inflatable head?
Well, that would be cool.
How about Head Plays Dead? we get the inflatable head in here.
Right.
And to do a bestshow.net slice of life show.
Yeah, that's going to be you guys.
And then
I'm not coming in for that one.
But they can only play dead songs, and Tom has to be on the phone during
If you wanted them, if they were going to play dead songs, what would you want to do with them?
No, I think they actually probably could pull off the dead. I mean, there was a couple songs that they sort of had little jams in the songs, and
What if we just tell them to learn the song, the album American Beauty? It's a challenge.
Yeah, I'm not coming in for that.
Yeah.
I'll be
in New
York,
guys. There's a lot of long
guys.
Jams on there. They want
a lot of jams. Pat, do you have anything to plug?
You know what? I'm available. If you got a comedy show, if you want to book me, I'm available.
Yeah, you know what?
Because I got nothing to plug, but I will plug the Patreon, because, of course, the Patreon.
Yes.
If you're not a subscriber, we are going to have special content coming up. And we try to put up as much as we can. That's the patreon.com/thebestshow, and that's how you can support the show.
Yep.
And we could use it, because some people drop off and then they don't come back, and we need some support, guys.
Yep. And,
Best Show 24/7.
Best Show 24/7. That's always going. Check that out. I'll plug myself. The very first show of the run of Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis is on December 11th. Hell's Kitchen, UCB Theater, December 11th, 9 p.m. I'm paired with Thomas Whittington is a total monster.
I love
it. Which is a really great show. So come out. And who knows, man? The best show will be back. Slice of Life will be back.
Yes.
People have asked, is there a world where both exist and that does...
Yeah, we're
yes,
we're
there is
talks.
A world where both exist.
We're in talks, and
we're in talks.
And huge thanks again to Vulture.
Uh-huh, yes.
And anyone who's just been listening and supporting, you can rate and do all that stuff just like you do anything else. But it helps. Yes, I had some caffeine tonight, and it's showing.
Yes, it is.
And I'm sorry that I cut you off several times, Mike. And
see, he's angry. No, he's been stewing over there about this.
Here's the thing.
Me on caffeine is bad.
I saw The Irishman, so that was like 4 hours into my day.
Right.
I feel like it's 4 a.m. right
now. You saw it today?
Yeah, I did. I saw a morning.
That's like 40 years.
Is this inflatable head?
I saw it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And guess how many walkers or crutches were in my audience?
5.
15.
No, there's actually only one crutch.
Oh, okay.
That's a trick question.
That is. All right. You tricked us.
Well, that might have been your crutch.
We're ending Slice of Life with some trickery.
But thank you, Inflatable Head, for allowing us to keep this music in the
pocket. You're editing it out.
And
you are editing it out.
Real quick plug. I'm going behind the skins, returning to the drum set. Jason's shaking his head.
This is not Pat speaking. This is the caffeine. Like, just the one. Hey, don't shut me off real quick. I just want to say I'm going to be back behind the skins.
Surprise, I'm not. Tommy McNamara's holiday show at.
I love Tommy. What a good guy.
Yeah. Big FOT. He is at Union Hall.
Uh huh.
And I'm not sure the date, but I'll post it on my social media or go on his, Tommy McNamara's Christmas Extravaganza or something like
that's
that.
That's not the Twitter handle.
I'll be playing the drums on it. And sometime in December, I think December 17th. I'll keep you in. Bye.
Is it FOT or FOT?
I say FOT.
Yeah, I say FOT too. So. There's a big debate about it now.
Yeah. So how do we go out? How do we do this?